this April. WrestleMania.
I feel the need for speed.
Goes Hollywood.
I'm flying, Tez.
Funny how, like a clown, I amuse you.
And there's no going back.
What about the face paint?
It's exfoliating. What's with the voice?
It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, I got the okay to share that montage for all of you, and apparently there may be more that didn't make the intro. Good evening, everybody. This is The Sit Down with yours truly. It is February 19th, 2023. We are less than 24 hours removed from the Elimination Chamber. What a fun event to watch. And a little message to some of you out there. And I mean this lightheartedly, but, you know, it was cute to see how many people, once we found out that Montez Ford was okay, in fact, he was selling his injury yesterday that, you know, everybody was running to like, DT, he was selling. Anybody and their mother could say that. You know, the funny thing about that is, what if he wasn't selling? You know, that entire building was giving him a standing ovation because they thought he got injured. You check social media yesterday, and about 80 to 90% of everyone out there thought he might have been injured. Imagine if we go back in time to when Adam Cole got that injury, and you went on social media and immediately said, oh, come on, he's selling only, you know, you didn't see that? And then you find out that he wasn't. I think the bottom line is this. We should be happy that he's not injured. And, you know, I think it's cool to be concerned about someone. Always heed on the word of caution because I am not. Why should I be embarrassed or feel stupid that somebody worked an injury? A lot of people got fooled when Dax had the shoulder injury on an AEW pay-per-view not too long ago and had to go to the back and then came back and finished the match. We should be happy that Montez Ford is not injured. That's the bottom line. We should be happy. And I am happy. So anyway, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to the sit down. For those that are, you know, familiar with the show, you know what to do already. For those that are new, basically, what I do on Sunday night for about an hour is I just sit here and I talk about whatever is on your mind. If you want your questions answered or if you want your comments shared with everyone, you got to be in a live chat. It is free. And all I ask is that before you post a question, just write in capital letters the word question so I could spot it quicker. And as always, super chats are never required, but they are very much appreciated. They do go to good use. I was checking back some of the chat yesterday and a few of you asking, hey, DT, did you get a new camera? No, I did not, but I got a new lens. And the lens has been around. And by the way, few of you out there were saying, hey, DT, could you eliminate the blurred background? You know, we want it a little bit clearer. So that's why if you notice the background is not blurry anymore. You know, if enough people request something, I will always oblige. So let's get into it now. Right off the bat, Steve Joseph, thank you for the two spot. He wants me to share with everyone that the Super Bowl did 113 million viewers. You see what that shows you? When something is must-see TV, that you have to watch it live, people will watch it live. This idea that, oh, we have YouTube, we have Hulu, we have Netflix, we have Philo, we got this, and that's why the ratings are down, because people have so many different options of where they could watch it. Yet, the Super Bowl, same thing. But you see, people want to watch it live right then and there, and that's what the biggest problem is with pro wrestling in 2023. It is no longer must-see TV like it was 20 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago. 10 years ago, the numbers were better. If something is must-see TV, you stop what you're doing and you go watch it. You don't wait until the next day. You don't wait until later in the week. You don't wait until you're at work and you decide on your lunch hour if you're on the bus or the train, and oh, I'll watch it then. You know, you want to see it so bad that you got to see it live. And that's the biggest problem with pro wrestling. It is no longer must-see TV when it's live. I still think wrestling has a large audience, but the thing is that people will watch it at their leisure. Advertisers don't like that. They don't like that. People don't understand. When people talk about, oh, this person is on Dark all the time, this person on Elevation all the time. Yeah, let's see if AEW stays in business if all the revenue they get is from YouTube and not TV advertising, and not a deal with a network. You see, your shirts will cost you $90. But yeah, 113 million viewers, very impressive. Very impressive. Ronnie C., oh, see, this is why sometimes I really appreciate when some of you send super shout-outs, super chats early, before the show even starts, because it allows me to do a little research. Check this out. About an hour before the show goes live, I get an alert that a super chat came in, Ronnie with a 10 spot. And I click on it, and it says, Don, I'm sending this early so you could check it out. Did you see the claim that Jay White might be Uncle Howdy? Google it, and you'll find some media reporting it as a legit rumor. Jay White, Uncle Howdy. Listen, I know some of you are fans of New Japan. I know some of you are fans of Bullet Club. I know some of you absolutely love Jay White. Jay White is not a household name in American pro wrestling yet. If Jay White goes to WWE, I think eventually Jay White will be a legitimate big star there. But he's not going to walk through the curtain, and you're not going to have two-thirds of the audience fucking losing their shit because Jay White enters the building. It's just a fact. It's not to insult the guy. But people out there creating these narratives, you know, it's wild. It's crazy. I got to share this with you. And, you know, for my audio friends out there, you might want to take a moment and go to the video version of this show. You could go right to the 8-minute mark, and you got to take a look at this for yourself. So Ronnie sent this to me early, and I looked it up, okay? Now, this originated from a Reddit post. I applaud the Jay White fan being very creative, but there are actually websites that are reporting this as a strong rumor, or they use cute words that it's probably not him, but this person makes a good argument. That's not what a journalist does. You know, if you could have a conspiracy theory about Biden, about Trump, about UFOs, about shit in the sky, and just because it sounds good, you don't have the fucking evening news say, you know, so-and-so on Reddit claims. I mean, this is what it's become, everyone. We're in bizarro land when it comes to this stuff. And you know what? It produces results. There are so many podcasts out there that are quadrupling their numbers because they just clickbait any stupid shit, and people got to see it. Almost like, it's so ridiculous, I got to go check it out. First of all, I'm just telling you right up front, there is no logic why Jay White would be with Bray Wyatt. Why would any WWE fan even give a fuck? There's nothing. What do they have in common? You know, that they both have balls? Like, it's stupid. It makes no sense. But I got to share this with you anyway. So, there's three pictures I got to share with you. Here's the first one. Oh, the squared circle. That's where it originated. The squared circle is just a category on Reddit. Is Uncle Howdy Actually, Jay White. This person writes, I quote, "I think we need to look at the facts, everyone, and assess the situation here. With Jay White losing to Eddie Kingston at Battle of the Valley, it's time for him to assume his role along the second best act in WWE as Uncle Howdy. I truly believe Jay has been under the mask, operating as the Uncle Howdster, until his time in New Japan was finished. Now that he's done, he will unmask himself as the Switchblade Assassin and take on Bray Wyatt. My evidence is below. What do you guys think?" So that's his preface. That's his preface. Now I'm going to show you two sets of photos. Argument number one. On the top, we have a picture of Uncle Howdy. In the middle, we have another clearer picture of Uncle Howdy. And then we got Jay White. Look at the beards, everyone. Look at the beards. The beards are almost identical. Look at the beards, everyone. Now, where does the hair come in? I don't know. Maybe it's hair extensions. Maybe it's attached to the mask. I don't know. But check out this Photoshop extraordinary. Look at this. So we're supposed to believe that he comes in and WWE dyes the beard, does the hair extensions, and then when it's time to go back to New Japan, it's... Oh, God. God, I applaud people for being creative, man. I will always applaud creativity. But for people to actually start reporting this as news, you know, please, send me whatever drugs you're taking. Because obviously it makes you feel beyond good. That's just ridiculous. Jay White is Uncle Howdy. Remember when Edge was Uncle Howdy? Now, think of this, how tall Edge is. What happened? Edge got that syndrome where you lose like 6 inches. What happened? Somebody cut off his feet? Oh, and speaking of, WWE superstars. I know it's a dumb segue, but I should have mentioned it right at the beginning of the show. The additional movie trailers are out. And if you're watching this live and didn't see the very beginning of this show, go back to it and you could watch the trailers again. A lot of the rumored trailers with the Bloodline as Goodfellas and Miz and Maryse as Top Gun and, you know, others, Montez and Bianca Belair doing, Bianca Belair doing Titanic. Yeah, they look pretty good. And I got to see the others, man. I still think they got to do something with Dominic Mysterio. I still think that they got to do something with Otis. I mean, we're still 6 weeks away. So there's no reason why they still can't film stuff. But, good shit, man. Definitely good shit. By the way, for those that were asking in the chat, no, I have not watched New Japan Battle at the Valley as of yet. I do know that Mercedes Moné won the women's championship. Congrats to her. And look, she's happy. She's making some money, some serious money. She's going to show all of her love towards New Japan right now. And, she was asked if she would go back to WWE and, playing off like, never say never, but probably not. It's the hustle. It's part of the hustle. And right now, she's having a good time. Sausage cooked, because we pretty much figured that in, working out a deal with New Japan, especially for multiple appearances, there was a likelihood that she was going to win their women's championship. And, I heard some good things about the match. I heard that the intro, like her entrance, was like, if you bought a WrestleMania entrance on Wish, I haven't watched it yet, but I did see like 10 seconds of it. The best way I could describe it is if you remember the MC Hammer music videos from the early 90s, not the You Can't Touch This, but the more generic songs that really were not all that good, and you have just like random people, or better yet, CNC Music Factory, when they're, you have like 5 or 6 people like synchronizing like some hip-hop dancing, and they're all in like sweatpants and t-shirts. That's what that looked like. It looked like an old CNC Music Factory music video. But I don't care about the entrance. The match was good. That's all I care about. So, by the way, I don't know if any of you are aware of this. I mean, obviously, really, he wasn't a wrestling personality. But, I always talked about it. I always remember it. This person died yesterday or today, Richard Beltzer. Does anybody remember what the wrestling connection that Richard Beltzer had with WWE? Oh, I remember it clearly because it was on my birthday. It was on my birthday, 1985. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T appeared on his show. Hulk Hogan put him in a sleeper hold, almost like a headlock, a reverse headlock, whatever you want to call it, and squeezed. Richard Beltzer looked like he got legitimately knocked out. Hogan just let him go, and he fell backwards, split his head open, blood dripping out. We go to commercial. Next thing you know, lawsuit. Let me tell you something. No joke. No joke. You know those videos, do not try this at home? I swear I will never do another show ever again if I'm exaggerating. When we all saw Hogan put that, like, headlock, whatever it was, chin lock, on Beltzer, and he got knocked out, fell backwards, and Hulk is, like, slapping him, trying to wake him up, and you see blood. Every one of my friends all tried to squeeze the life out of their friends, seeing if they can, you know, get somebody knocked out, literally putting people in headlocks. See, let me see if I can make you pass out. And everybody, and, you know, nobody really ever did pass out. But once in a while, if you squeeze the right way on your temples, you would knock out for a few seconds. You'd be waking up and you'd be like, what the fuck just happened? Oh, that was awesome. You know, because everybody fucked around with wrestling at the time. This is mid-80s, everyone. There were no do not try this at home music videos. In fact, people on TV, they kept telling you it was fake. So if it was fake, then why can't we do it? It's fake. So we can do it. It's fake. Until you realize, you know, I've always told this story. My friend was a huge fan of the Masked Superstar. And the Masked Superstar, Bill Eadie, used to do the neck breaker, the swinging neck breaker. And then my friend did that to me in his basement. And we were right by the steps where you walk down. And my head hit the edge of the steps. And I got knocked out for a few seconds, you know. So, listen, I will never condone backyard wrestling because I've seen people legitimately get seriously injured. But I got to be honest with you. As a teenager in the 80s, oh, fuck, it was awesome. It was fucking awesome. Now, thank God we had more ground wrestling. I mean, you had some moves, snooker. You know, I did the super fly off a sliding pond and I broke my ankle. A lot of you already know that story. But could you imagine if we were in the mid 80s as a teenager and we had the wrestling style that we have now? People would be climbing on people's houses, not to do like Mick Foley and dive onto a mattress. People would want to do shooting stars in 360s and 480s and 640s. You know, it's no longer like, you know, superfly and dive off. It's like, no, superfly and fucking fly upside down and maybe on a pogo stick. Stay on the roof, bounce off on the pogo stick and fly back off and see if you can grab. We would have killed each other. We would have killed each other. You know, doing a neck breaker or Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Clutch, that was fun too. When you put somebody's, and then when somebody does it wrong and you pull their arm and it's not supposed to go in that direction, yeah, it's fun to watch, but it's not fun if you're the one taking it. So, all right. We didn't have the Tombstone Piledriver, Mike, in 85. We had Paul Orndorff's. And unfortunately, none of us was strong enough that we could actually jump in the air and execute. Actually, you know, we did have the Tombstone in some capacity because Morocco used to do the reverse pile driver, but we didn't call it the Tombstone at the time. When Paul Orndorff did the pile driver, that's the one everybody wanted to do because Paul Orndorff wouldn't just spike the person. He would literally like jump up and land on his ass and you'd be like, whoa, that's fucking awesome. And then we realized that unfortunately, you know, we didn't have muscles like that. The closest that I could ever get to Paul Orndorff's muscles is this. And then I go like this. Like this. What are you doing? Oh, my wife shut the door. If you hear barking, it's because we're dog sitting. So, but anyway, rest in peace, Richard Beltzer. Rest in peace, Richard Beltzer. All right, let's focus on the live chat. since we are done with super shout outs for now, I am not buff. I'm more like fluff. You ever see that, like, fluff, like the marshmallow stuff? Yeah, I'm not buff, I'm fluff. So, all right, Rocky Red, which Mick Foley character was my favorite? Didn't we, well, we did the promotional version last week. But of all of them, Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, or just plain old Mick Foley, it will always be for me Cactus Jack. Cactus Jack was awesome. Loved the stuff in Japan. The ECW stuff. The ECW promos were almost like an out-of-body experience as a wrestling fan. You know, like, I talked about this, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, Pink Floyd. It's a bad comparison, but people know why I'm saying it. Pink Floyd. Back in the 2000s, they would do these light shows across the country. And they play Pink Floyd. They play Dark Side of the Moon. They would play The Wall. And it would be just laser lights. And if you went and you were on something and you were tripping while watching the light show, it would be like an out-of-body experience. Because, you, first of all, Pink Floyd's music would always, you know, hit people a different way. But if you're on medicinal supplements, you know, it enhanced it even more. As a wrestling fan, Mick Foley cutting those hardcore, passionate promos. Now, I'm not talking about he's hardcore. I'm talking about, you know, when he was talking about the crowd making, you know, talking about his little kid getting caned, or, you know, when ECW didn't have the extreme letters yet and he was first coming in against Sabu. And, you know, that guy was insane with his promos. And they're legendary. They're greatest promos I've ever heard. Honestly, you know, I know most people think that CM Punk's pipe bomb is the greatest promo of all time. I can honestly tell you that this, the Cactus Jack ECW promos, to me, they hit me much differently than CM Punk's. You know, because CM Punk was like a work shoot. You know, there's a lot of people that still think to this day that CM Punk had no authorization whatsoever to say anything that he said and everything like that. Funny thing is, with Triple H at the helm right now, I think if CM Punk cut that same promo in 2023, you know, people would be like, oh, you know, it was a work shoot. You know, it would be good. I mean, people would love it, but I think people would analyze it so much and be like, well, you know, of course, you know, WWE, Triple H trying to make things feel a little bit more real. I think people would shred it apart a lot more now compared to back then. But for me, Cactus Jack, not even close. Pink Floyd doing light shows at their concerts, they would put on these wild performances, Rams fan, but it was more about the music, and it wasn't as much a spectacle. Like, you know, my favorite concert that I ever went to as far as a spectacle goes was Prince and the Revolution, you know, their tour in 85, when Morris Day and the Time opened up for them. And the amount of work that they put in, you know, I know it's obviously outdated now, but at that time, if you ever get any bootlegs of their performances back then, the when they were pushing Purple Rain, it was a spectacle. It wasn't just the music, but I still remember when the lights were out and then they popped open and then here's Sheila E. doing the drums and everything. I mean, it was just, you know, it was totally different. What, you weren't just going for the music. It was like you were at I don't even know what you could call it. Just a beautiful performance. But Pink Floyd, it was more about the music. It wasn't necessarily about light shows with Pink Floyd. That's why they would do these other concerts. So, all right, Kevin Milwaukee. Do they tell ring announcer Samantha Irvin to sound as masculine as she possibly can? Because it seems like every month she's forcing it more and more. I don't think she sounds masculine at all. I pointed this out like 8 months ago. Like when she, especially when she talks about Gunther and Imperium, is so much intensity involved. And it's more like German, like Imperium and Gunther. I fucking love it. Samantha Irvin, she puts so much energy and so much power in her. Oh, man. If I died tomorrow, I would want her at my funeral just to announce something. Like, even if she said, like, you know, like, there's coffee and cake in the hallway. Like, she just put so much energy in it. I mean, look, I will always love Howard Finkel. I will always love Lillian Garcia. But Samantha Irvin, you know, she makes even a jobber sometimes sound like a main event performer. I fucking love her work. I don't think it sounds masculine. I think it just sounds passionate, you know. And it's funny because when Gunther especially has a match, whoever her opponent is, she just sounds like a, you know, regular American girl, like announcing the person with a little bit of passion. And then, and his opponent, you know, from Germany, from Imperium, Gunther. I mean, you just like, she just transforms into a different person, man. She's great. I love her shit. Gruss says MC Hammer Live was one of the best stage shows. Yeah, see, look, MC Hammer was choreography. MC Hammer, I was never a big fan of MC Hammer at all. And by the way, look, my glasses are fixed. Amazon comes through. I literally bought the nose things, the kit today. The only thing that sucked about it was I didn't look at the directions first. So, you know, every time I would try to, like, put a screw in, I got fat fingers. So every time I put one of these tiny little screws in to, like, attach the nose thing, they would just fall on the floor. And I couldn't find them. I went through, like, six screws, and I said, ah, fuck it, let me go on YouTube. I look at the video, and like, oh, there's tweezers in there. I'm like, huh? And I opened the kit, and I find tweezers, and I picked up the tweezer. I put the thing in. 5 minutes later, it was done. But as far as, you know, MC Hammer, yeah, choreography, the dancing, I mean, they put on some fun performances back then. I mean, there was some good ones. Listen, my favorite concert of all time, as far as just straight-up performances, Fresh Fest 84. Seeing all those rap artists at the Nassau Coliseum, Fresh Fest 84. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube. Check out Video Music Box. Check out the highlights. It was amazing. And let me tell you something, even though there was a lot of violence in the mid-80s, you know, when you went to Fresh Fest 84, you had Puerto Ricans, blacks, Asians, you know, Spanish, Chinese, Italians, white, black, straight, gay, and everybody was just having a good time, man. We fucking Run DMC and everybody else. It was amazing. And we never felt threatened, like, oh, these fucking Italian white boys at this hip-hop concert. You ain't allowed here. Nobody did that. Had so much fun back then. All right, let's see. All right, Twix, when Sting retires this year, how will I in the wrestling world remember him? One of the greatest performers of our lifetime. Did not have five-star matches, but charismatic and a guy who was just a muscle head with no wrestling experience fell in love with pro wrestling. That's how I will always remember Sting. I will remember him from the NWA days when he, early in his career with the Surfer Blonde. I will remember him with the Ultimate Warrior before they ever made it. You know, I will remember him, you know, with the Four Horsemen. I'll remember him, you know, in so many different ways. And also the fact that, you know, he still loves it so much. Look, AEW is overpaying. I know what you're going to say. It's Sting. You don't overpay Sting. You give him what you want. Yeah, I get it. When you're a billionaire, of course, you know, you could afford anything. But Sting, it's not just about the money. He actually still has fun. And even though Darby Allin is a little too reckless with the stunt stuff, you could see that, you know, there are some wrestlers that are really being educated by Sting, and Sting is definitely one of those people that you would want in behind the scenes. Sting is one of the greatest performers of our lifetime. Not five-star matches, but, you know, when you look at entertainers, Hogan, not the greatest wrestler, but Hogan, despite the personal outrageous stuff in his personal life, if not the greatest entertainer pro wrestling ever had. You look at Steve Austin. Steve Austin was a better technical wrestler in WCW, but nobody wanted to see that in WWF. People just wanted him to stun people and give people middle fingers to drink beer. You know, so Sting will be looked at as one of the greatest performers of our lifetime. Sting is the perfect example as to why you don't have to do five-star matches. You don't have to do crazy ass shit. Yes, he dives and everything, but, you know, I think it's more because it's just an adrenaline rush more than anything else. And everybody protects him. So, all right. Let's see. You know what? I got to give you all props, man. There's a lot of MC Hammer talk still going on in the live chat. You know, growing up at that time, the only reason why I even liked a little bit the You Can't Touch This song is because it was Rick James's beat in the background. You know, it's Super Freak. Dun, 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 dun. You can't touch this. I never liked MC Hammer. Like, I thought his music was okay. It was a little too popish for me. But then again, at that time, rap was transitioning, man. You know, you went from, you know, Houdini, you know, and LL Cool J talking about his booming system and Mama's Gonna Knock You Out and Run DMC and Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five to fucking, you know, I want a gangsta bitch. Huh? A gangsta bitch. What? A gangsta bitch. I need a gangsta bitch. Huh? A gangsta bitch. NWA, I'm not even going to repeat their lyrics. I don't want to get myself in trouble. So MC Hammer was like a breath of fresh air from the hardcore gangster rap. So you either on one extreme or you're on this extreme. So I get why he was as popular as he was. Plus, he didn't get into trouble. He didn't get into trouble. But those pants, man, whenever he wore those pants, you always thought that if you took a needle and just popped it, that the pants would just boop. You know, like those genie pants. I never owned a pair of those genie pants. I have FUBAs that Sandman used to wear early in his wrestling career, but I never had the genie pants. All right, let's get back to pro wrestling a little bit. All right, so again, if you want to, okay, what do I think of, Bash 8 is asking, what do I think of Tony Khan's latest tweets? Well, yesterday I talked about the Ariel Helwani insult. And, you know, I'm tired of the divisiveness. I'm tired. I'm totally tired because that's the hill that Tony Khan has put himself on. You know, when Cody did the sledgehammer to Triple H's throne and everything, okay, he's sending a message that, hey, you know, you're the game, you've been the game, WWE's been the big only game in town. Well, AEW is going to give you a run for your money. I get it. But this forced narrative that everybody hates each other, you know, he wants it. He wants it. So he could play the victim card, and it gives him, in his eyes, an excuse to say some outlandish stuff. Man, I was never a big fan of Ariel Helwani because I wasn't a fan of MMA, and I'm still not a fan of MMA. But one thing that came across yesterday, not just at Elimination Chamber, what we saw on TV, but the videos online, what came across to me is that Ariel Helwani is a hardcore Montreal wrestling fan. And the Sami Zayn match was almost like a religious experience for him. And to have that much love and passion for pro wrestling, that is cool. That is awesome. And because there's this disdain from the interview he had with Tony Khan and everything, and the fact that, you know, I saw this David Bixenspan, who I used to follow. I used to like his stuff, but I unfollowed because I just get a headache reading it. Like, he's actually, like, throwing insults to Ariel Helwani because he's holding a microphone on SmackDown that says WWE on it. And I'm like, what the fuck does any announcer that's a guest announcer when they go to a show? You mean to tell me that when someone outside of AEW shows up that they should fucking hold the microphone for their radio station or their sporting event? When you get a guest commentator from a different sport, are they supposed to hold the, what the fuck was that? Because Ariel Helwani's holding a SmackDown microphone. Like, oh, you. I'm like, oh, I can't stand it. And I'm not going to fall for it. You know, I still get people to this day. DT, man, if you just let that into your show a little bit, you'll double your viewers. I said, I don't want that shit. Tony Khan, it's getting harder and harder to really want to, like, not necessarily support the product, but, like, I actually, for the last couple of days, had said, you know what, I think I'm going to start taking Wednesdays off again. You know, it's not just about doing this for the love of wrestling and making some money, paying some bills and, you know, doing the shows for everyone. But it's like, I don't even fucking want to watch it live anymore. Like, I'll watch it during the week at my leisure. But why should I fucking have another horrible night's sleep and fucking cover this shit and take all these notes and screenshots and results and analyze this and do this and have this guy shown so much disrespect for pro wrestling? You know, I want to cover everything that's going on. But man, when you have the person at the top that just pushes that, it's like, I don't want to fucking, you know, support that. It makes it very, very hard. Very hard. And the problem is, you know, this is who he is. You know, when you hear about fighting in the back, oh, Tony Khan, you kind of feel bad for him because, no, I think he's actually the biggest part of the problem. He's the biggest part of the problem. When CM Punk was saying what he was saying, look at Tony Khan. Just focus only on Tony Khan when CM Punk is saying what he's saying. Tony Khan's sitting there with his fucking goofy drink and he's like, now, imagine if somebody's sitting next to me and the person's like, yeah, you know, Tony Khan, you know, his girlfriend's a fat fuck and blah, 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 blah. And like, but that's me. And I'm just like, I don't know. LaDude, do I think AEW peaked with its shows? October 19th to March 2020 ruled. I don't know if it peaked. But the problem they're having now is, this is what I think their problem is. They've fallen into this where Brian Danielson has to be on TV every week. John Moxley has to be on TV every week. Few people have to be on TV every week, whether it's wrestling or skit or something. And the problem is, some people that you start pushing, you know, they fall through the cracks. Look at Hobbs is the perfect example. You know, they tried to like start this thing with Mario Andretti or whatever, and you see how that fizzled out. You see, it's just they have fallen into this comfort zone like, oh, well, if we give them this and we give them this and we give them this and we give them this, then, you know, hey, our core base will be happy. And the problem is, we have this pay-per-view coming up. I ain't spending $60 on that. I've seen Moxley and Paige already. I've seen Moxley bleed every single week. What is he going to do now, you know, that's going to make me feel different? You know, what is he going to do? You know, like, there's a lot, and even the Acclaimed versus the Guns. Like, oh, we have to add two extra teams to it. And there's a, you know, a lot of what's going on that, it's almost like they always have to book a return or a surprise or a debut or something to try to reel people in. And I think the problem is that on TV, they're starting to run out of... Listen, I had a bunch of people tell me Friday, the House of Black, the House of Black. They're throwing teasers against the Elite, the House of Black. And I'm like, Revolution's in 2 weeks. Wait, they're doing this now? So in 2 weeks they have a match? Oh, gee, I wonder who's going to come up on top on that one. The House of Black returned, what, 3 months ago? They said that they were giving AEW a death sentence. A death sentence. When you want to make a statement, whether you're a terrorist or a mass murderer or, you know, somebody that wants to create damage, Mother Nature, Mr. Earthquake, Mr. Typhoon, Mr. Snowstorm, you know, if a snowstorm was a human being, the House of Snow, and a snowstorm says, I'm going to wreak havoc on this all-elite town, and then we get a dusting. We get no snow for like 3 weeks. What the fuck was that? They came back and they beat up AR Fox. Now, after all it is, now? No. Sorry. That's how I feel. So they just, and the funny thing is, you know, I don't think they have lack of storylines. It's just, when you write a book, you write a book, you know, you can't have like chapter one, 10 chapters, and you have chapter one, and then chapter two, and then three, four, five, six, and seven. There's nothing really going on, but then you overload chapters eight and nine. So by the time you get to chapter 10, like, wow, that was a really good book. You know, you got to tell a story consistently through that time. Everything's got to make sense. You look at everything with this bloodline thing. Why do you think everybody is calling it like the greatest storyline, maybe in our generation or since the Attitude Era? Because it's not like they decided to do for a few weeks and then take a month off and then do this and tease that and then not show up here and not do this. You know, like somebody in there is creatively involved to make sure that every week there's not only something, but progression. Not just, you know, we got to throw a promo out there. Whew, we got our promo this week. As long as we got a promo that brings it up this week, that's all that matters. No, it doesn't work that way. Just because you fill a quota every week doesn't mean that it's very good. So, all right, theme parks with Johnny with a $10 super shout out. Thank you, my friend. Don't forget, DT, Tony Khan got another huge announcement this Wednesday. Catchphrase, as a fan of AEW, I'm tired of hearing the huge announcements almost every week. Well, I'll give Tony a little defense here. We have not had a major announcement in quite some time. If you're going to ask me next, what do I think the announcement is? I think it has to do with Ring of Honor TV, Honor Club. I think it has to do with that. The tapings are this week. There's been no mention on TV. It's got to be Ring of Honor, Honor Club. It's got to be. Because the tapings are going to take place next weekend, 2 weeks worth of the tapings. And then it's going to be on Honor Club the following week. You know, what? The amount of Ring of Honor mentions on TV every single week, and you don't announce it, I think it's Honor Club. I think it's Ring of Honor returning to weekly TV beginning this coming week in Orlando. I think that's what the announcement is. And honestly, if that's the announcement, I have no problem with that. I won't criticize him for that. You know, I know a lot of people like, oh, it may have to do with the video game. It may have to do with this. The video game, like, is that a must that has to be on this? Oh, the game's going to come out March 31st. I don't think that is that urgent that it, you know. And honestly, if they are going to make an announcement soon about the video game, what they should just do is they should just say, Tony Khan, next week on Dynamite, is a major announcement regarding AEW Fight Forever video game. Let everybody know in advance that it's the video game. But I think it's Honor Club. I think it's Ring of Honor because 3 days later, they're taping. What are you going to do, make the announcement after the taping is over? Hey, you know, look, 3 days ago, we had our first tapings for Honor Club and starting my... No, you got to make the announcement before the tapings because there are some fans. Listen, you know, I know Orlando, you get a lot of people that are, you know, there for, you know, summer, spring, go to Florida, warm weather, tourists, not necessarily wrestling fans. There are quite a few wrestling fans in Orlando. So you want to let those wrestling fans know that Ring of Honor is going to be there because if they're not doing anything, and if the tickets are free, why wouldn't you go? So they want to get some, you know, wrestling fans there. So that's what I think is happening. So thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. Oh, yeah, Dixie Carter was a little bit over the top with her shit, man. Over the top. Michael Gonzalez, do I have a favorite Sabu moment? Yeah, when he fought Terry Funk, Born to Be Wired. That was just a surreal experience. I mean, you know, I told the personal story of him by my office, you know, several years ago when they needed a table to break for an FTW event. So him showing up in Howard Beach was pretty fun. But, you know, as far as seeing him and live and in person, seeing stuff, you know, the barbed wire match with Terry Funk was crazy. You know, I loved his stuff in Detroit before he ever even became famous. When after you would have a match, he would throw a table in the middle of the ring and keep fucking diving off the top rope, doing moonsaults onto the table, and sometimes the table wouldn't break. And he's getting up, and he's holding his ankle, and he's hopping around like he's fucking Zach Allen. And then, you know, some people would be like, you stupid fuck, why are you doing it again? And then he'd break the table and be like, oh, man, that was cool, do it again. You know, so Sabu was kind of an enigma back then. Revamp thinks the huge announcement has to do with Rampage. Nah. I think it's Honor Club. And I don't think that's a letdown. I don't think it's a letdown. All right. Let's start bringing this home, everyone. We are 45 minutes in. We are 45 minutes in. So we are three quarters done. See, time flies when you're having some fun discussion. Don't know how I'm going to put MC Hammer in a synopsis. Some people will look at the synopsis like, should I tune into this week's episode? MC Hammer. Fuck is that all about? Maybe I could go check wrestling history and see if MC Hammer was ever tied with pro wrestling. You a little surprised that he was never like at a, you know, like at a WrestleMania or something like that? I don't remember MC Hammer at WrestleMania. All right. Rampage Jackson, not the show Rampage. Oh, you know, Rampage Jackson, I like. Wasn't he the guy that was in the music video with the spoofing the A-Team with John Cena? That Rampage Jackson was okay. It was just the Impact Wrestling stuff was awful. John and Mitchell is asking, how am I doing? Should I say it like the end as Enzo? Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing all right. You know, not too bad. I'm a little tired. You know, I got up a little late today. You know, last night was a late night. You know, watching the chamber, recapping the chamber, editing the show for the chamber. But it was a good show. Loved every minute of it. Glad that Montez Ford is okay, as I said earlier. And, you know, Roman Reigns winning was obviously the right way to go. You know, to see people today, you know, still beating that drum, you know, okay, whatever, you know, but this is, remember what I said yesterday? I think Cody and Sammy are going to team up. Maybe they'll probably only take on Alpha Academy or something like that, but I think Sammy and Cody are going to team up at least 1 week on TV, one show to basically show. And you have to have that talk. Cody has to console Sammy. You know, I know you didn't finish this story. I know the story didn't end the way you wanted it to. But create another. I could see that inspirational story, you know, that inspiration that Cody will give Sammy. And I said it yesterday that if Sammy is live on TV and Cody does it, then you could have some asshole interrupt. You know, I picture Chad Gable because I can just picture Cody being passionate, talking to Sami Zayn, you know, make a new story, create a new chapter. Shoosh, 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 please. Oh, man. Bona killer as far as wrestling promos go. Yeah, I don't want to see the Alpha Academy break up. It feels like, you know, they've had a good run. I wish they would have had tag team gold a little bit longer, but you could say that for a lot of tag teams because the Usos have had the stranglehold. So, all right. Yeah, well, no. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn, I don't see it. I don't think Roman Reigns should fight Sami again between now and WrestleMania. Because yesterday was a beautiful story told. It didn't end the way a lot of people hoped for. But the point is, you don't want to water that down by them having another match. Sure, WWE may not be able to resist. And they announced a tag match involving those two guys. I just think you do not have them in the ring facing each other, even if it's in a tag match. Leave yesterday alone. Find something else to go. Okay. So we're going to wrap this up in 10 minutes, everyone. Xander Elion, it feels the more behind-the-scenes stuff Dax Harwood says on his podcast, the further away FTR will be returning to AEW. Do I think that FTR are just waiting out their contracts? No. They asked Tony Khan if they could go home early. Tony Khan said yes, and that's why FTR, listen, FTR is still under contract. FTR can still show up on TV. They are still included on the promos for Dynamite. But similar to William Regal, they asked Tony Khan, could we leave early? The only difference is that they didn't exit their contracts early. Tony Khan allowed them time off. The time off might lead to them never returning to TV. Wouldn't it be cool if they were, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, if they were in the Tag Team Casino Battle Royale? Boy, that would make it very, very interesting if FTR was one of those tag teams in that match. But, you know, look, I put on my thumbnail 3 months ago that Dax Harwood was Public Enemy number three. Remember CM Punk, Public Enemy number one, Andrade, Public Enemy number two, and Dax Harwood, Public Enemy number three. I think I was pretty accurate, especially looking at it now. Dax is talking, and he is talking based on the results of his podcast. People want the dirt. People want the controversy. People want him to be brutally honest, and that's what he's given them. So, you know, it is what it is. Doesn't surprise me at all. I saw this many, many, many months ago that Dax Harwood fans were going to turn on pretty quickly, and they did. They did. Thunder Rosa is doing the Spanish commentary team for AEW the last week or two. Thunder Rosa is still on good graces with AEW. Her injury, she is recovering from, and I hope that she's back soon. But, you know, she is still, you know, she wants to still do stuff in AEW. You know, there are some people within AEW that don't like Thunder Rosa. But overall, she is more liked than disliked. Now, I think if she can return to the ring, I think we will definitely see. Who knows? Maybe Thunder Rosa will be the one to dethrone Jade Cargill. Maybe Jade Cargill's first ever loss is against Thunder Rosa. Just an idea. Because I'm always asked, every couple of weeks, I'm asked, who do I think will be the person to dethrone Jade Cargill? And my answer is usually, probably somebody that's not on the roster yet. But if you have to choose someone, I think Thunder Rosa could be that one. Why not? Would it be a bit that bad if Thunder Rosa was the first person to dethrone or put a loss on Jade Cargill? I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, look, Jade having a first loss will be a big deal. But, you know, if it's someone in a caliber like Thunder Rosa, I don't think anybody would complain. The people that don't like her will complain. So, all right. Let's see. I hate when they compare Jade Cargill's streak to Goldberg's. I mean, why not compare it to Asuka? You know, another women's wrestler. Asuka had a crazy streak in NXT. You know, like, why? I hate the Goldberg comparison. Goldberg was just a freak of nature, and people wanted to see only two moves and out. People see Jade Cargill, and Jade Cargill is learning, and she's progressing, and, you know, maybe it was a little bit rushed to put her in this position, but people overanalyze her in-ring wrestling work. No one wants to see Jade Cargill squash people in 5 seconds. They want to see if anybody can make Jade Cargill work 10 minutes. That is much different than Goldberg. Maybe people behind the scenes and William Regal, wanted to see, you know, test Goldberg a little bit. But look what happened to Regal after that match. All right. And Kevin, a ton of people on the net make that Goldberg comparison, not just you. I'm not singling you out. Tons of people online. Every time the undefeated streak is mentioned, Goldberg is always mentioned with it. And to me, it's ridiculous. I think it's unfair to Jade Cargill as well. Totally unfair. What if Goldberg never did the spin kick? You know, what if my dad pulled out? You know what I mean? Like, what if Bill Buckner didn't, you know, let the ball go through his legs? You know, what if Jordan didn't make that hoop with 2 seconds left? You know, there's so, I mean, you could, we could say that about anything. What if Bret Hart didn't leave for WCW? You know, what if, you could even use tragedy. What if this didn't happen? I mean, you know, so many different things. You really can't look at it. Like, you can't say, like, well, if Bret Hart never retired, well, this would have happened, and he would have gone here, and this would have been this, and this would have been that, and maybe would have had this. You don't know. You know, there's a lot of things in my life that, you know, I think to myself, wonder what would have happened if I didn't do this. Wonder what would have happened if I didn't call her up. Wonder what would have happened if I didn't do that. You know, like I say to myself, what would I be doing right now? But, you know, we could say that about anything, about anyone. You know, there's no way. You know, it's not like one of those books where, oh, if you choose this answer, go to page 46. You know, if you want Bill Goldberg to mule kick Bret Hart, go to page 46. If you want Goldberg to trip and fall and Bret Hart doesn't get kicked, go to page 77. If you want Goldberg to kick himself in the head, go to page 95. I wish I had that creative prowess. You know, what if Goldberg didn't have his son? And I'm not saying that to be a jerk. That's why he returned to wrestling. You know, what if Goldberg never got married? Would he have wrestled again? It's, yeah, choose your adventure books. That's what it was, Benjamin. I grew up on those books. Any of you out there that are younger, you know, it's not probably fun now. It's more, you could do more with video games, like those old computer games. Like, it's almost like, remember that game? Well, no. See, like Space Ace and that other video game, like, you would have to go in a certain direction in order to progress. You know, it wasn't like you could choose door A, B, or C, and it leads you different to a different story. But choose your adventure books were fun when I was young, and they were great books to have. You could still buy them used, but basically, when you read the book, you would get options, and based on where you wanted the story to go, it would tell you to turn to a different page, and you could literally with one book have 10 different scenarios, 20 different scenarios happen. Phil is asking, do I think CM Punk is going to return to AEW or WWE this year? I don't think he's going to return to WWE. The more time goes by, I think, you know, WWE has shown they don't need CM Punk for this kind of revenue that they're doing in attendance. Like, really, where is CM Punk really going to, you know, change that much for it? If anything, I think they're worried more about the negative possibilities with CM Punk. You know, it's like one of those choose your adventure books. If CM Punk should show up at Survivor Series, turn to page 46. You know, if CM Punk just stays home with his wife, turn to page 80. Like, you know, I think WWE, you know, I think CM Punk, unfortunately, has burned a lot of bridges. And, you know, you see the ratings that they had when he was on TV. With all due respect, how much difference were those ratings? 10%? 15%? Now, for AEW, that's a nice number. Would you take that risk for WWE? Look at Cody. We pointed it out. When Cody came back, look at the ratings a month before he returned and a month after he returned. Now, it's hard because this was right at WrestleMania time. So you got to kind of go a month before Mania and a month after Mania. The ratings were not different. The ratings were not different. Do you take notice that no one ever put a report out there that Cody Rhodes' WWE return resulted in an increase of this many viewers? There really wasn't. Like, some people that had a curiosity factor would be curious to see what would CM Punk say and do when he returns. Would he throw shade on Tony Khan? Who would he feud with? After about 2-3 weeks, you know, you pretty much know where he's, you know, if he returns to AEW, there would have to be some public apologies by multiple people. There has to be some public press conference. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you can't leave the unknowns in the back if the Elite and him have resolved it. Since everything is out in the open, I think you would have to have a public press conference with everybody there and everybody, you know, sitting at the table and smiling and shaking hands. You need that public display that things have been mended if he's going to return to AEW. Because if that doesn't happen, you will have some people who still don't like him to throw those nuggets out there. And what if CM Punk gets angry again? Oh, I promised Tony I would bite my lip this time. I think he may not be worth the, you know, the risk. But I personally think if CM Punk, if you told me to choose one or the other and I have to, I think he has a better chance returning to AEW than he does going to WWE. There's no need for him in WWE right now. Sure, there's some fantasy matches that we would love to see, but does WWE really need it? You know, if you have 15 classic cars or 15 sports cars in your garage, do you really need a 16th? You know, I mean, it really depends. I don't think WWE, and look, the climate within WWE is really, really positive right now. And even with that, Mercedes says yesterday on the New Japan interview, I don't think I'm going to go back. Like, you know, like, think about no more Vince creatively. The whole company, you see the progression of women, you see Bianca and where she's going, you see how the women are legitimately treated in WWE. If there was ever a time to return to WWE, if I'm Naomi, if there was ever a return, it's now. And yet still, that hasn't happened. So, I don't think CM Punk is worth it for WWE. All right. So, we're going to wrap this up, everyone. So, don't forget, tomorrow after Raw, I will be up here doing a Raw recap. We will see the fallout from Elimination Chamber. We will see where this goes with Bray Wyatt. You know, I'm very, very curious with that. One thing I think we are pretty much assured is not going to be Jay White as Uncle Howdy. But we'll see if Sami Zayn is on tomorrow. You know, we'll see where that goes. But I don't think you have Jey Uso and Sami Zayn on Raw tomorrow. Let that steam for a week. Let it hold off until SmackDown. And you announce, advertise the whole week, you know, like after what happened, Elimination Chamber, and then Jay will go up to Sammy. You know, listen, of course, it was an accident, and it would look stupid the way they are putting so much realism in this storyline if Jey Uso accuses Sammy of doing it on purpose. It was clearly an accident. But, you know, Sammy will still apologize, and someone will obviously be a little bit of a, you know, a shit stirrer. So I think you hold off on that. But tomorrow I think is going to be a really fun episode of Raw. And now since we are on the clear path to WrestleMania, now we get the opportunity to see where this goes. Obviously, Asuka and Bianca Belair, that will progress tomorrow. There's a lot of rumors of what Becky Lynch is going to be doing at Mania, and it may involve some Hall of Famers. So we'll see if anything develops tomorrow on there as well. But if you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your Sunday / Monday. Here in the United States, I think it was a President's Day. So tomorrow is technically a holiday, which means I get a half a day at work. So, but I will be here tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. And I hope you can join me. I think we'll have a fun show. And, you know, the road to WrestleMania is here. And I got to be honest with you. You look back 12 months. It was right around this time where Kevin Owens started dissing Texas. And this led to the challenge to Steve Austin. It's been a whole year already. Remember Steve Austin on that desert trail in his vehicle and he accepts the challenge? That's almost a year ago. Just like that, time flies. Year ago, Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn. Remember when Sammy's in the bathtub and everybody's calling his cell phone? I mean, you know, it's pretty amazing that a year has flown by this fast. But it's a good thing. I'm really, really happy where they have gone. Sammy's, and you know what? I got to say this before we go off the air. I got to say this. I don't have the clip here, but one thing that I loved, what Ariel Helwani said yesterday, wasn't on the chamber. It's a video clip online. This was after the chamber was over, and he was talking about Sami Zayn, and he compared Sami Zayn to somebody. Can you guess who the person is? Who is the person that I said that for the last month, month and a half, Sami Zayn is not giving me Daniel Bryan vibes? Sami Zayn is giving me Mick Foley vibes. How we all fell in love with Mick Foley in the late 90s. And Ariel Helwani actually said that yesterday. He compared the beloved, where everything is happening to him, to Mick Foley. And I thought that was fucking awesome because, look, I'm no revolutionary here. I'm no, you know, but, and I'm not the only person who's been thinking that. But to hear somebody who is that hardcore as a Montreal wrestling fan who obviously beloved Sami Zayn that much more, and to compare what's been going on with the fans and the relationship to Sami Zayn to Mick Foley, I was like, man, that was really, really cool. So that was really, really cool. But all right, everyone, much love. I'm out of here. So I hope you can join me tomorrow on Raw, and you all have a good one. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.